Welcome back, everybody.
Thank you very much.
It is always a pleasure to have assembled before us the community services wigs, large and small. Actually, no, you're all big and bigger wigs in the corporate services. I'll stop right there. So you have a presentation for us?
We do, if you'd like to hear it.
I believe that is the purpose of our meeting today. Please go ahead.
Please, we'd be pleased. So, good afternoon, and thank you for letting us present to you our 2015 proposed operating budget for the department. Our department can be found starting on page 228 of the budget book. Here with me today is the department's leadership team, made up of Dan Lajeunesse, who's the branch manager of corporate procurement and supply services, Rob Klatchuk, who's the branch manager of customer information services, Steve Rapanos, who is the branch manager of fleet services, Jeff McPherson, who is the branch manager of human resources. I'd like to introduce to you David Booth, who is the new branch manager for information technology and chief information officer for the city of Edmonton. Along with me also is Keith Chorley, who's been acting in that capacity for the past 7 months, and Jarman, who's our city solicitor, and at the end, Elaine Sinclair, the city clerk.
Well, welcome, Mr. Booth. It's nice to meet you. And the rest of you, of course, you know, we know who you are, so, and we like you, so it's
so I'm just going to walk through the presentation in totality, and then we'll be here to answer any questions from the branch managers. Corporate services plays a role in almost every aspect of the city's operations. As you know, the department includes many functional areas. However, while each is quite unique, the leadership team before you shares a collective purpose of bringing both a corporate perspective and in-depth expertise to support and enable the delivery of the city's programs and services. In 2014, the department initiated a modernization agenda whereby each branch is systematically challenging aspects of how we provide service and how we deliver value to the organization. A snapshot of the value that corporate services brought to the organization in 2014 can be seen in the innovation initiatives that we brought forward and in the budget reduction highlights section found on page 28 through 39 of the proposed operating budget. Taking into account the reductions taken on the 2015 fuel, which was discussed by Mr. Burgess earlier, the proposed restated budget for corporate services in 2015 includes an expenditure increase of $10.2 million, or 3%. Considering the recoveries from other operating departments, the proposed increase to the department's net operating requirements is $2.9 million, or 3%. This increase is being driven by personnel costs, escalation in parts costs, and 7 funded service packages that I'll outline in each of the branch overviews. The first branch is our Corporate Procurement and Supply Services branch. It is the supply chain management and tendering authority for the City of Edmonton. The branch is responsible for delivering a range of business services, including procurement, inventory management and distribution, mail processing, and corporate printing. In 2014, corporate procurement managed over $1 billion in spend and led hundreds of tender processes for the provision of a wide variety of goods, services, and construction projects. A sampling of the transformative projects that received support from this branch includes the Valley Line LRTP3, the new office tower lease, and the Edmonton Transit Advertising Services contract. Supply chain management ensures that goods and services are available also when needed, and the Digital Print Center provides printing services to both departments and to a variety of other external entities. The proposed budget for 2015 for this branch includes a net budget increase of 2.8%. The increase is driven mainly by increases in personnel related to funding 3 new positions and an increase of $80,000 for courier costs. Next. There are 2 funded service packages for corporate procurement and supply services. The first will add 2 LRT parts positions to support parts and supply management specific for the Metro Line LRT. Through this process, the city has added an additional 57 light rail vehicles, while LRT parts inventory has nearly doubled to $6.3 million over the past 3 years to maintain the growing track, signals, and trains. Starting in 2015, train maintenance will be on a 24/7 schedule and will require parts technician support to match. The second package adds a warehouse technician who will work with the waste management to establish and run a managed inventory area at the Edmonton Waste Management Center. This position will be funded by the utility. Customer Information Services is the face of the City of Edmonton for our Edmontonians. It is often the first point of contact for two-way communication between citizens and the service providers. The branch includes 311, Inside Information, and the Corporate Web Office. The 311 brand is firmly established with Edmontonians, with many indicating in the most recent census that 311 is the preferred method of obtaining information about the city's programs and services. Since its inception in 2009, annual calls to 311 have increased by 600,000 calls a year, or 37%, to reach the 2.2 million contacts received each year by this particular center. The most recent citizen satisfaction survey indicated an 86% satisfaction rating with the service. In July 2014, 311 launched a mobile app that provides citizens with a new self-service channel for interacting with the city, giving the option to report on 28 different service concerns for the citizens, like potholes, litter, and snow removal. In the months since the app's release, it has been downloaded over 11,000 times, with over 3,000 requests received through this new option. The city's primary service channel, however, is Edmonton.ca. In 2013, Edmonton.ca had 11 million visits and 32 million page views. The proposed budget for this branch is requesting a net operating increase of 2.5%, predominantly driven by personnel inflation for current resources. Fleet Services is the city's expert in fleet management, maintaining a fleet and infrastructure that is worth over $600 million. The branch ensures that over 5,000 vehicles and equipment are well maintained, safe, and reliable for use on a daily basis. The branch is responsible for capital planning, engineering, procurement, maintenance, custom fabrication, client and vendor relationships, training, fuel management, and project and process performance. Fleet Services also serves two external clients, EPCOR and Alberta Health Services. A new five-year contract in 2014 was agreed between EPCOR and ourselves, and the Alberta Health Services contract was extended for an additional 2 years. Over the past year, Fleet Services managed the procurement of over 340 replacement vehicles, managed the purchase and distribution of 42 million liters of fuel, and recovered over $1.6 million of warrantable costs. The proposed budget for Fleet Services represents an expenditure increase of 2.8%, predominantly driven by the impact of the U.S. dollar on parts and increased maintenance requirements for the fleet. The Human Resources Department, or branch, plays a leadership role in supporting our clients in attracting, developing, and retaining a diverse, innovative, talented, and engaged workforce. The branch provides a range of diverse services and expertise to the 12,000-plus employees and the corporation in the areas of labor relations, recruitment, payroll, disability management, corporate safety, employee development, and compensation. In 2014, the branch led the development of a revised five-year corporate workforce plan built around three strategic focus areas designed to optimize performance, leverage learning as a competitive advantage, and increase the capacity to attract and retain a talented workforce. In addition, two new HR business process improvements will be launched in early 2015, a new employee onboarding and orientation process, and an enhanced online HR analytics and reporting program for city managers. The branch continues to work on other improvements and remains committed to maintaining its leadership position in social media recruitment efforts. The HR budget net increase for 2015 is 2.1% and is comprised primarily of personnel inflation. The budget also reflects an increase in staff support services related to new community facilities, resulting in a larger increase in personnel costs offset by matching intra-municipal recoveries. The Information Technology Branch is the technology service provider for the City of Edmonton and is critical to enabling day-to-day municipal operations. IT is responsible for technology projects, workplace support of 10,000 desktops, laptops, and mobile devices, and an IT infrastructure that includes 500 servers, 2 petabytes of data storage, and more than 100 kilometers of fiber network. In addition, the branch maintains over 140 departmental business applications and 6 enterprise applications. Over the past few years, the city's IT footprint has increased by 22%, which includes expansion to the back-end infrastructure, application functionality, and an increase in the number of users connected and supported on the city's networks. Included as part of the IT budget is program management, where corporate and department initiatives such as the Corporate Culture Office and the Open City Initiative are reported. Information technology proposed expenditure budget includes a net increase of 0.8%. The expenditure increase is primarily attributable to personnel inflation and the operating impacts of capital. There are two funded operating impacts of capital service packages included this year. One is for the software maintenance package covering additional software maintenance costs related to software licenses purchased in support of projects approved in previous budget cycles. The staff support service package funds a position to support the new remote mobile functionality in place to support in-field maintenance activities. The law branch provides essential legal, risk, insurance, and security support for the city's operations and transformative projects. Leveraging close working relationships with clients, knowledge of city applications on operations, and expertise in municipal law. The branch provides services across a diverse range fields ranging from representing the city in lawsuits and prosecuting bylaws, purchasing corporate insurance and providing risk control advice, and investigating security incidents and performing security audits and training. The proposed budget for 2015 for law recommends a net budget increase of approximately $1 million. The increase is primarily attributable to personnel increases and a funded service package which includes three new positions. There is also an increase to security contract costs related to new facilities, which are offset in the intermunicipal recoveries. The number and complexity of major city projects has increased the demands on the branch, and this year we have put forth a service package for three additional resources. This service package provides a solicitor, a risk management consultant, and a municipal prosecutor. The risk management consultant will increase the oversight on the city's risk control program. The solicitor will ensure there will be legal support for several high-profile projects, including the Big City Charter, the MGA review, and annexation applications. And the municipal prosecutor will handle the increased number of contested prosecutions in provincial court. Finally, the Office of the City Clerk plays a key role in building strong local government by providing opportunities for the public to participate in civic efforts and affairs. The Office of the City Clerk provides governance and administrative support for council and for committee meetings. They support the assessment review process. They support access to information and protection of privacy. They maintain corporate records, and they support services for elected officials. In an average year, the branch supports approximately 400 subdivision and development appeal board hearings and 150 council and committee meetings covering over 1,500 reports.
Oh my God, we meet that much?
I know. The proposed budget for 2015 recommends a net budget increase of $1 million. Approximately 70% of that increase is associated with two service packages. The remainder of the increase is attributable to personnel and non-personnel inflation and revenue adjustments. Funding of $334,000 is being recommended for the Federation of Canadian Municipalities annual conference, which is being hosted in Edmonton in June 2015. The administration is also recommending a budget of $393,000 for incremental funding for the Capital Region Board, which represents Edmonton's proportion necessary for the board to apply for matching provincial grants from the provincial government. This concludes the overview of the corporate services department's budget by branch. As I mentioned, we believe we're an integral part to the city's success and our ability to move the organization forward. The department's leadership team is here to answer any questions you may have.
We have a stack, a small stack, but a stack nonetheless of questions for you, starting with Councillor Henderson.
I don't have a lot of questions. The first one was, though, and I think, I can't remember if you covered this, and I know it was covered in the update that we had at the beginning, so I'm guessing we were using a different price of fuel than we now think we're going to be using?
That's correct. We originally budgeted back in the spring for $1.05 a liter,
yeah.
And based on current prices, we've re-estimated back to the 2014 level, which is $1.01.
So have we... what are the opportunities right now of increasing our hedging on that, though? I mean, could we get that number down if we stockpiled?
Well, we currently already have hedged 37.5% of our fuel for next year. We hedge every quarter. Typically, we go in and we hedge 50% of our fuel each year.
Yeah, and I'm just wondering if we can get the number down even lower than what you're predicting, because I'm guessing we're not paying that number for fuel at the moment, are we?
Our hedge price is $1.01 at this time.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. Okay, because that's because we're paying diesel mostly, right?
It is.
Okay, gotcha. All right. My next question. I was interested in this on page 261, this HR unfunded package. I wasn't sure I entirely understood it, but I feel, you know, where there's stuff that's being put on the table that may create efficiencies in the future. I just wanted to know more about it, because sometimes a penny saved is a penny earned, right?
So what this is about is taking a pretty different approach to learning in the organization, so an enterprise approach. It recognizes the numbers of retirements. It also recognizes in terms of the changing workforce. So we've made investments in terms of training frontline supervisors. I think we put approximately 700 supervisors through frontline training. The whole notion there is a more skilled workforce will be a better workforce. This package also touches on, though, is the learning management system. So it's an ongoing operation of it, and that really covers off a couple things. One, it allows us to do compliance around our training, so we keep better accurate records from an enterprise perspective. It's a foundational piece as well, though, for succession management, when we can better access the skills of the workforce.
So I guess the question then is, if we did this here, which I think would probably centralize our training and actually get, you know, would we see more savings elsewhere in training that wouldn't have to be done in a corporation if we centralized it here?
I think, just to be cautious, some training, this does not centralize, for example, fire training. It doesn't centralize those things. What this does do, though, is address, I think, a need that's been there for some time. So, for example, when you talked about whether it was FOIP training or other types of trainings, we can do this from an online versus classroom capacity.
But I guess what I'm curious about is, all of this training presumably is happening ad hoc across the corporation right now. So, and I can't imagine that's the most efficient or cost-effective way to do it. So I don't want to turn our back on this. If actually, although, you know, again, this is back to the same problem that we had before with the roads and the trucks. If there's a way to actually save money corporately by doing this, it'd be useful to know that, because in actual fact, maybe there's some savings, there's some places we can nibble away elsewhere in response.
I think, Councillor Henderson, it's probably more along the lines of cost avoidance. So we have a number of courses, the courses we're doing around Aboriginal awareness training, which we don't do now, which we would deliver through this type of means.
Okay, but even if we think of it as cost avoidance, at the moment this is unfunded, so we're not avoiding those costs.
Well, actually, right? What's happened here is we are putting in a learning management system.
Okay.
This particular package was for incremental support. So while it would be nice to have incremental dollars to do that, what we will do, given that it's unfunded and presumably it stays that way, we'll look for savings elsewhere in the department to supply that support.
Okay. And then the other question I had was about the Open City, and if we don't fund, it's also unfunded. If we don't fund that, what happens to the Open City work we've been doing?
Well, it continues. So Open City, it does have resources assigned. We did a reallocation of resources in the department to support it this year. So what we're suggesting here, I mean, it would be nice to have incremental resources, but based on the priorities of the department and the organization and where we're at with our budget, we decided we could continue without necessarily having to increment. Now, it won't go as quickly, but it still goes.
Okay. Well, I'm guessing there are more questions. I'd love to go on forever, which I could, because my time hasn't started, but I'm going to stop.
Somehow. Amazing, because you said at the beginning I only have a couple of questions, which somehow Bev had the chair. So when I clicked on your face, it did nothing. So now I have the chair back. Thank you, Councillor Essinger. You have 4 minutes and 43 seconds left, Ben. No, you don't.
No.
I'm kidding. Councillor Oshry.
Thank you. Well, of all people, not to start their time.
No, come back to order.
Was that my outside voice? I thought that was just inside.
You said that out loud, yeah.
Right into your tongue.
And you've burned up 14 seconds.
Okay. Just a couple of quick questions for Fleet. Can you just explain the increase for the 3.7 materials, goods, and supplies? Is that offset by recoveries? Maintenance? No, that's different, right? The maintenance recovery is different?
The increase is primarily around the U.S. dollar exchange and increase in parts volume.
My next question.
And an older fleet. So that makes up most of that.
So why would the aging, like the increase, the aging fleet, wouldn't it be the same every year? Like, why is there a big jump this year?
Councillor Oshry, as our bus fleet's getting older, we've done extensive analysis, and we've just had PwC do some work with us on our parts drill down. And as your bus fleet gets older, virtually none of our buses are on warranty any longer, and our average age is now approaching 9 years. So with that, we get an increase in parts and an increase in maintenance, and that drives cost.
But wouldn't it be this sort of a increased cost every year? Like, why is it a big jump from last year? And then my follow-up would be, is it going to be another big jump next year?
I think it's just the age.
So, Councillor Oshry, you think it's because we don't actually buy the buses in even increments every year? So they're not all aging. Like, you actually...
Bought them all in 1 year.
We bought a whole bunch in 1 year.
So the next year, it'll be another big one, another big jump potentially?
Correct. So we bought a large volume in 2007, another in 2009. So we're picking up the cost as we go. I think, too, the increase in parts costs has to do with the exchange rate is one.
My next question, how much, because I know a bit about that, what's the volume of U.S. dollars that you would go through this department?
So just speaking to parts alone, the cost of parts is escalating about $3.3 million. About $2 million of that is actually to do with exchange rate.
$2 million is the U.S. dollar movement?
Yeah.
So what would be the gross amount that would have been purchased in U.S. dollars?
Well, we're looking at a 90-cent dollar.
No. Like, did you spend $50 million U.S. dollars on parts?
So, mm-hmm. Councillor Oshry, we're actually using Canadian dollars to buy the parts through a distributor, but they're sourcing it in the U.S. from the OEMs, and
they're charging
that's where
more.
They're
so they're charging more as the rates go down?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. Have you ever talked to them about?
We are negotiating with them all the time to try to reduce the cost.
No, but have you talked about paying in U.S. dollars? Controlling the rates yourselves?
We looked at it in the past, but that would be a discussion with finance as well.
Okay. Yeah.
So, Councillor Oshry, just to add to that, we are going to have a conversation in the next couple of weeks about these costs and looking at some hedging opportunities around that.
Yeah, that would be good. Ms. Jarman, so with the LRT, with expropriations,
yes.
So I'm assuming we have more volume of work coming, right? So is that going to increase? Because there wasn't an FTE for that, correct? Or there weren't any FTEs for expropriation work?
No, we had quite an increase in our FTEs last year for the expropriation work, which is funded by the Valley Line project and by Blatchford.
Okay. And so if the LRT, when the LRT eventually goes west, you're going to just retain those staff? So you're not thinking there's going to be a jump at any point?
No, not at this point. We're pretty staffed up. Of course, the process of the expropriation and ultimately determining the compensation can last several years.
Yes. Okay. All right, that's all the questions. Thanks.
Councillor Nicholl.
Yes, just for Council's information, if you want to see how many hours and how many meetings you've met over the last 5 years, you can go to page 42. And that'll tell you how many hours you've been actually sitting in meetings. 2013, 420. And number of meetings, 135. 2014, 549. And 164 meetings. That's interesting. But let's go to FOIP.
Where's the meeting?
There's your workload. Let's go to some of the FOIP questions I asks that I have. Now, FOIP charges have gone up over the last 5 years by 80%, and I understand it says this is the first year fire investigation reports included in the count, but you show here your requests per 100,000 are stay flatlined at 38. So what is the accounting for the increase?
The raised increase has come in the number of pages and the photocopying charges.
Okay.
But it depends. There's been many of the FOIP requests in the last few years are cross-departmental requests, and they're fairly extensive. So there's the time period to go through the files, and obviously we get duplicates, which we try to cut out so that the public aren't having to pay for the duplicates. But every copy we give them, we have to charge for.
Okay. Yeah, I was just curious about that statistic. Ms. Rosen, is it proper to use the September 30th projected year-end financial results? Did we get an update since then?
So, no, you won't get another update until after the end of the year.
After this is done. So I'm going to use some of these numbers and ask the question with regards to FTEs, because they're across a number of departments, and I'm going to start with your department, over $1 million in positions not filled and given out to private contractors, yet you still ask for more FTEs. So why should I give you more FTEs when you can't fill the positions you have?
Right, so we actually carry about 79 vacancies right now as of mid-November was our current number. We do have a fairly significant turnover in areas like Fleet, for example, which do have a higher turnover than other branches. But on average, we average between 4-4.5% in terms of turnover for this department.
Well, it says information technology, personal savings due to unfulfilled vacancies, $1,019,000, are offset with contract to fulfill work requirements. So that's outside of the branch of the high turnovers. So what, again, I put it back to you, you know, when I say to you, we have all across the corporation vacancies aren't being filled, yet all across the corporation, you keep asking for FTEs.
So in the case of IT, they actually had a large service package, I believe, last year to actually do some major insourcing. And they suggested in that service package that it would be a 2-2.5 year period to actually fill all the positions. So there is some carryover from that insourcing work that was done and approved last year with IT.
Okay. Well, I might have a question to council regarding that general overall framework of keep asking for FTEs, but you don't fill the FTEs you got. And so that's kind of asking for money in lieu. But anyways, we'll deal with that. I just want to give a compliment to legal. Your costs are well in line. And I want to give a compliment to you, Anne, for that. Because I've always wondered about the cost per hour for a city lawyer versus some of those corporate guys out there. And I think your numbers are quite in line, and they look pretty good.
Councillor Neck.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So with regards to Open City, how many data sets do we hope to, let's assume we didn't fund this, do we know how many data sets we would hope to publish over the next year?
Well, I mean, our goal is to double, to be quite honest with you, each year. So I mean, we're on a good start. We do have resources that are working on this, and we do have a good governance structure now that's more business-focused versus IT-focused. So my expectation is that we're like a hockey stick. We just keep going up, up, up. But there is a cultural change that has to happen, and we're working through that. So we're picking up momentum.
So then the fall, so double, what were we at? What did we do this year, approximately?
I think we did
515
up 20%.
Okay, and so we hope to double on that. So then let's ask the follow-up question, which is if we fund this, how much more are you going to get to do?
Well, I'm not sure that funding this is going to get you more data sets. I think what we are looking to do is actually start to use the data. So one of the areas that we're focusing on is analytics, and that's taking our data sets, whether they're open or inside our data stores that are private, and beginning to use analytics tools to begin to derive value from the data that we have. And that's to do things like evidence-based policy conversations or decision-making that's more fact-based. So we are working on that. Just might not go as quickly as perhaps it could with a few more FTEs.
So I'm very excited about that. So my follow, do you have a few specific examples of some things you'd like to do and how you see that, what the end result
I
is?
I do. So we have lots of work we're doing right now, for example, by correlating the census data to GIS data. So this is the idea where we've now gone and we've asked 866,000 people a bunch of questions, and we can begin to correlate that with the GIS data that we have in the city. And we have over 60 different layers of GIS data that we can apply that census data against, which means we can begin to ask questions based on those questions. So there's lots of power in analytics, and we're only, like most organizations, just scratching the surface on what our options are.
And so what do you think that information would help us be able to do?
Oh, we did a lot of work, for example, with the police on the crime safety work that was done. We're taking a look at the poverty task force and seeing if there's some alignment there. As soon as you can ask people a bunch of questions and you can align it to place, which is us, you begin to get some very powerful correlations that you can
some
make.
Some of that information could potentially help as we discuss things like big city charter, other items like that.
Mm-hmm. Probably more social policy questions would be my question. I think we have broad assumptions that we make about the city based on what we see every day in our neighborhoods, but in fact, when you look across the whole area, your assumptions get challenged.
Absolutely. Okay, so that was... Mayor Iveson handed it to me. One of us was going to do this, so
I was going to do it. But if you want to,
I'll make that motion that we, the community, corporate services, Open City, $216,000 from the tax levy, so we can get some of that information. So that's seconded by the mayor, as he wanted to do that. I have a minute 54 seconds. Ms. Sinclair.
Is there an app for that?
Is there an app for that? There will hopefully be one app. Let's talk about costs to run the meetings, because we have fantastic people, and one of the things we're likely looking to change is not always going into potentially doing 12-hour meetings, going more 8-hour meetings. Does that change it, or is everyone salary-based, or is it? So if we go into a 12-hour meeting, do we pay overtime?
No, we've always flexed our time.
Okay.
So it's never been an issue as to overtime in the area.
So it's just better quality of life for everyone, but not necessarily a cost-saving side of things.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Last question, and I had asked it last year, and this is a very small, tiny piece of the whole operating budget, but when it comes to actually streaming these meetings and getting that information out there, and I know I had asked, what's the opportunity for people who want to be able to watch it on an iPhone or an iPad, and the response was we were hoping to do that. I'm just wondering where we're at, because
we continue to work with project management in community services and with building maintenance in Walter's area. So there's three of us trying to work together on finding some solutions to it. The City Hall is a unique sort of setup on how the operations were set up in this room, and it's very expensive to try to change things. So we're trying to find cost-effective ways that we can better stream the technology through the room.
And so what's the, and just help me out then, educate, what's the hurdle to getting, if you watch on the ledge, you have a mobile version, you can pop it up anywhere. We don't have a mobile version. So what's the technical limitation
for us? The interface between our projectors, our cameras, and our system that we operate. Okay. And so it's developing that interface that would operate on a more efficient basis. And as you know, sometimes depending on how we overload this system that you're working on, it can overload and then not work properly. So we've got to make sure that we can still run the meeting management system without overloading it into the other process.
I'm out of time, but still on your radar.
Councillor Esslinger.
Thank you. I want to go to procurement. And if I could just get some information that I could understand more clearly the branch performance measures. And I'm really looking under the percent of local or non-local purchases. It says trending upward, but could you explain that to me?
Councillor Esslinger, I think it's because we have not set a target for where we want to be there. I think we were at Executive Committee about a month ago presenting an update on the work that we're doing in this area, and we continue to try to do what we can to create better access for local and small business to city opportunities, but we haven't as a city set a fixed target of where we want to be there, and we still are also balancing that with getting the best possible value for the city's tax dollars.
Okay, I appreciate that. Now, on page 235, it talks about some new procurement approaches to stay aligned with leading practices. Is that some of the things you're talking about, buying local, best practices? Could you just help me there?
I would say it's that, but I think what we were also referring to there is new forms of procurement, and councils had firsthand, I guess, insight into that with the new office tower and the use of these non-contract day or negotiated RFP processes. So I think we're always looking at the landscape and looking at tools that are innovative that allow us to actually have better procurement outcomes. And because the legal landscape around tendering continues to change in Canada, we want to be at the forefront. So those are some of the examples I think we're referring to. Also, in the building block section of the budget book, we talked about starting to apply apply a category management approach to procurement, and that would look at things like life cycle costing, looking across the whole enterprise, and actually managing it and governing a category of spend on that enterprise basis. And we've already had conversations with some of the key spend areas, such as construction, especially with a four-year capital program in front of us that may have some recurring spend that we might be able to actually do things differently and drive cost savings for the corporation. So those are examples.
Well, cost savings for the corporation is always a good thing.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Now I'd like to talk about 311. I'd like to give everybody a chance out there. I did ask the question through the questions about if with the 311 app going online, if we would need less staff. And could you just speak a little bit more to that?
So really from a perspective of what we believe the app will do is just open up more channels. I think what we're seeing is people that probably wouldn't have called in are now using the app to send in reports. So far, we've had 3,000 reports, you know, on a basis of 2.2 million calls. It's pretty small, so it's really hard to know how much that would have, whether it would have been migrated from a call previously.
Are you tracking to see if the calls will be going down overall, if the app's going up, or are you going to be collecting that data to look at a year from now?
Absolutely. I mean, running a call center, we have, I mean, I've right now I could tell you if I was back in the shop how many calls we're taking in every 15-minute interval. So we've got lots of data.
I'm sure with the snow it's a little busy. My other question is on your branch performance measures, where will I see the app showing up? Because I see the website and I see the calls, but will that be there at a separate item or is it embedded here?
It is embedded in there as a contact. We consider the app as just a contact, including email as well as a call. We do track, and in order for me to tell you that we've had over 3,000 reports, we track it, and I get a report on a daily basis. So it's not something we don't look at. You know, I can tell you that, you know, in the last few days, we've had more snow reports with it. So we do have the information.
Okay, thank you very much. That's all my questions.
Councillor Walters.
Thank you. So I just have one question for Mr. Legines and or Mr. McPherson. I'd asked in my written questions about the trying to explore the specific relationships between some of our external consultants and our FTEs that they and our staff that they work with. And so since I've been here, I've worked with some pretty great external folks that we hire, pretty talented, pretty strategic, and I was just wondering about in the criteria for hiring them and on the project that in which they are to work, do we sort of see through that lens the benefits that our own staff gain from the talents and skills that the external folks have? Do we consider that as a criteria?
I don't know that it would be an explicit. Well, actually, I can't say that because I've seen several RFPs for consultants where a knowledge transfer is actually part of the work. At the end of a project, there's often a debriefing and a sharing of the knowledge. Mm-hmm. And also just working with some of that talent, the project teams that are working with it, they gain that knowledge. And sometimes we'll use a consultant the first time, but then build that skill and actually deploy it internally.
Good.
Yeah.
I think that's certainly in terms of our productivity and the retention of staff, we feel like they're able to add more and more as time goes by. So in the employee satisfaction surveys, do we give people the opportunity to comment on or give feedback to situations where they've worked with an external?
Not specifically, but there's a number of questions there about support for development or the tools for the job or various other aspects like that, and we get that type of feedback, but not specifically to where you've worked with a consultant.
Do you see value in being a little more specific in asking about particular experiences and what they gained or maybe where they were, you know, undermined is maybe a strong word, but...
I guess what I would suggest is it's always tricky because then you start to add more and more questions to a survey that goes out to everybody.
Right.
Perhaps another approach is the debriefs that happen after projects and discussions around that and gathering information in that form.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that that's already being thought of, and anything more we can do there to for the knowledge transfer I think is valuable for us and our folks. Thanks.
Councillor Katarina.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And Mr. Rabanos, you probably have anticipated this question since it comes to you every year.
For 5 years.
So give me the rundown on your warranty.
96. We're on target for 96% this year, Councillor.
Fantastic.
$1.6 million.
Thank you very much.
Are there any more questions? A couple of mine have been asked by others. So unless there's anything else,
nope.
Then I think you're on process or on to them. I'll move a second round. Well,
no, this is the third.
No, it's second.
I'll move a second round.
No, Councillor Knack has moved second round and seconded by. I'll second the second round. Okay, please vote. Display the vote. That's carried. Councillor Nicol?
Mr. Panis, how much does the DAS bus cost when we purchase one?
Councillor,
I forgot.
About $78,000.
$78,000. That's all I wanted to ask. Sorry to bother. Oh, and Councillor Walter says, what's the average repair cost on a DAS bus for its life cycle?
Well, we've just done some extensive analysis with DATS, and the repair cost throughout its life cycle depends on year one. It would be considerably less. We've moved from a diesel to a gasoline unit.
Just dollars, please.
On average, about $12,000-$13,000 a year. On average, if we were to take it out through its life cycle.
$12,000-$13,000 a year.
Higher in some years, lower in others.
And how long does a DATS bus usually last us?
The units we have in service right now have not been in for, the new gas ones have been in for about 3 years. So we expect 5 years plus, and we're evaluating the life cycle of them because they're new pieces of equipment. So it could be longer than 5 years, Councillor Nicol.
So you're saying that the average DATS bus lasts only 5 years?
Five to seven years. We have a new group of equipment that's in as we replace the diesel buses with gas.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Nothing else on the second round. Thank you as well for the work that you do, multifaceted, internecine, though it may be. But when we're not hearing from you guys, it means all of the other stuff is working well. So it's nice to do this once a year. Okay. Thank you. You can step back. Now, we would have corporate programs and expenditures, corporate revenues and expenditures is the order we agreed we would go in. Now, it occurs to me that after that, you get into, well, there's financial services and utilities. Somewhere out there, there's Mayor and Councillor's Office, Office of the City Auditor, and Office of the City Manager as well, which we can just get to Monday, but I wondered whether we could rattle those off this afternoon. They're probably not counting on that, are they? Because I don't see David and don't see Simon, so...
If you have questions of Mayor and Councillor, we could probably do
it. Well... Well, here's the thing. What's up next is corporate programs and expenditures, but depending how long that takes, if there's a little bit more time, there's a couple other short ones we could do and still, you know, stop before we hit a big one. So would there be any objection, let me ask it that way, to bringing forward... actually, no. Finance, Treasuries, and Utilities, that might be a bigger one. Or it might not, actually.
Typically not so much.
Actually, okay, let's just keep going in the order. We might get to you.
And we do have a report on this one on photo enforcement reserves that might actually chew up a little bit of time. I don't know.
Okay, so in which case I'm saying we might want to do that Monday rather than...
Monday.
So could we have Mayor and Council Office on deck in case we have a little bit of time to do that? Would that be all right, Madam Clerk? Okay? Okay, well, is there any objection to doing Mayor Councillor's Office after we do corporate programs and expenditures, or corporate revenues and expenditures? No objection to that? Okay, let's be on deck, and then we'll have a motion to bring it forward when the time comes.
Mayor Iveson, we've actually embedded the photo radar presentation in with corporate programs.
In this one?
Yeah.
May chew up some time.
Yeah, because this is where the reserve would sit.
That's what I meant. This particular piece might actually take until 5:30, depending on how many questions you have. or may not. You've actually had quite a bit of discussion with respect to this.
Well, it's what's up next. By default, we would proceed with that unless I get a motion to bring something forward. Shall we? We got an hour. Let's see what we can do. Okay. Well, we'll get cooking then with the presentation. So it's not F and T. It's CR and P CR and E, whatever. You're not a department. You're just where all the money is.
That's right. Yeah. It's just yes. This is where the money resides.
This
absolutely.
This is the big pot.
Yeah.
This is
yeah.
where all the action is.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell us about it.
Okay. So Mr. Burge is just bringing up the presentation.
Excellent. It's worth going through because this is the one that, as a new counselor, once you understand this, this is how it all fits together.
And this is pretty detailed. So,
is there a handout, sir?
We have not printed out a handout for this one, I don't believe.
We can get handouts for you.
Please.
We'll do that.
Please and thank you.
So the Corporate Expenditures and Revenues Program contains expenditures and revenues that are not tied to a specific service delivery or program, but rather accrue to the entire corporation, including debt servicing, finance, franchise fees, and investment earnings. There are white papers available on all three of these items that will also help provide context to this program's budget. There's two unfunded service packages included within this program. The first unfunded service package is for a one-time request of $500,000 in 2015 and deals with establishing a fund to support the Continuous Improvement and Innovation Initiative's comprehensive approach. This approach encourages and enables improvement, exploration, and adoption of new techniques, technologies, programs, and better ways of operating. The service package could be funded through funds gained from the 2% efficiency and effectiveness process, direct department contributions are funded via the tax levy. The second unfunded service package would allow for the continued operation of Waste Resolutions Edmonton. The total cost of the service package is a one-time cost of $3.9 million over 2015, 16, and 17. This package provides the investment required by the city to continue the operations of Waste Resolutions Edmonton for 3 years. The program is split into four categories: capital project financing, corporate expenditures, corporate revenues, and taxation expenditures. And I'll discuss each one of these sections more specifically in the following slides. Capital project financing includes corporate revenues directed specifically to capital on a pay-as-you-go basis and provides for a repayment of outstanding debt. The budget also includes the city's annual allotment of the federal gas tax fund, shown as SLRT grant revenues on this slide, which is used to pay for the debt charges related to the construction of South LRT. The city's tax-supported, self-supported, and local improvement debt charges are also recorded in this program. The primary source of funding for making the payments on tax-supported debt is general property taxes. The source of funding for self-supported debt charges are items such as grants from other orders of government, user fees, lease payments, parking revenues, or other guaranteed non-property tax revenues. Self-liquidating debt is recovered through local improvement levies or utility rates. Self-liquidating debt related to local improvements is shown here within capital project financing, and utility self-liquidating debt is shown within the utility's operating budget. This program also contains the gold bar transfer fees, which are annual payments from EPCOR to the city for the transfer of gold bar wastewater treatment plant to EPCOR in 2009. As per the master agreement, the transfer fee of $75 million is to be paid over 7 years, with the last payment of $100,000 in 2015. Within the revenues and transfers, you'll see a transfer from the recently approved interim financing reserve. This reserve is used to interim finance project debt servicing costs, which will ultimately be funded through future guaranteed non-property tax revenue sources. Corporate expenditures includes expenses pertaining to council and corporate contingencies, risk management insurance claims and recoveries, and support for city activities and partnerships. Two significant items to note within the corporate expenditures are costs related to financial strategies and risk management. The 2015 budget for financial strategies provides flexibility for unknown amounts. This budget will be redistributed to the appropriate programs as factors affecting it become known. Risk management expenditures are mainly for the city's claim payments and insurance premiums. Corporate revenues include funds used to partially offset the corporate tax levy requirements. The revenues are from sources such as EPCOR dividends and franchise fees, ATCO gas franchise fees, tax penalties, tax certificates, TAG and fine revenue, other dividends, and contributions in amounts drawn from corporate reserves. Franchise fees are what the city charges utility operators for the exclusive right to provide utility services within the city, as well as for access to city lands to construct, maintain, and operate related assets. Franchise fees are largely driven by population growth and consumption. A dividend is also collected from the city's land enterprise operations. The enterprise pays a dividend to the city, according to policy, based on 25% of the prior year actual net income of the land development activity. The land enterprise dividend amount will be finalized based on the actual 2014 year-end projection. The taxation expenditures program includes expenses related to property tax levies such as appeals, bad debts, and loss on sale of tax property sold. The expenses are partially offset by supplemental taxes levied during the year. There is a reduction in supplemental taxes compared to the 2014 budget due to revised estimates on building starts during the year. However, year-over-year actuals show an increasing trend in supplementary property taxes, which is in line with increasing housing starts. Tax appeals and adjustments are higher in dollar value from last year, however, are a similar percentage of the overall tax levy assessment. The city continues to strive towards a fair and transparent property assessment and appeals process. As you recall, on November 19, 2014, City Council passed a motion for administration to bring back a report during 2015 budget deliberations with recommendations towards the establishment of a photon radar reserve. A report discussing the proposed reserve as well as proposed reserve policy has been provided to Council for discussion. The proposed reserve is a specific purpose reserve established to address the revenue variability unique to the Traffic Safety and Automated Enforcement Program and to allow for the accumulation of annual surplus funds within the reserve or, when necessary, to account for a program deficit. Under the proposed reserve policy, automated enforcement revenue would be budgeted within corporate programs and allocated to the reserve. With the development of the operating budget, funding allocations will be made from the reserve to individual programs within departments for budgeted expenditures related to the purposes outlined in the proposed policy. As with all budgeted revenues and expenditures, the allocations from the reserve and expenditures of those funds is subject to City Council approval through the budget process. That's the presentation.
All right. Questions? Councillor Henderson.
My question was about the unfunded service package with the long title. I'm sorry, I'm not on that page right now.
Continuous Improvement, yeah, Innovation, and it Research, just, and Development.
You know, it's, and I just needed to know more detail and information on that because it seems like such a catch-all. I guess I'd sort of like to know what it is, what we get from it, what we don't have if we don't do it, how it fits in the big picture of things.
So, Councillor Henderson, in terms of this particular package, this is part of the actual 2% initiative whereby we actually did a fair amount of work to determine how do we create a culture of innovation and how do we encourage staff to actually bring forward ideas that could result in savings. And so this is to actually put in place some processes and some support services to actually not only encourage those ideas to come forward, but then to develop business cases around those ideas and to actually see about putting some of those ideas into action. We look at this as being seed funding and anticipate that we will at least see a similar amount in savings in the year after its implementation.
So is it bodies? Like, I just couldn't figure out what the money was going to.
My understanding of this package is that it's predominantly related to consulting support in helping us develop and train people to do things like Lean or Six Sigma, whatever approach they land on, to help us work through those efficiency exercises.
Okay.
And develop the capacity internally to do it.
So without it then, we're just going to keep on relying on ourselves and to ask the same questions.
I think what you would see is a slower implementation over time of us moving in this direction and just doing it as a maybe off the corner of the desk approach as opposed to maybe a holistic approach to the organization in approaching this.
But using the 2% money isn't, I mean, that money, it doesn't really exist anymore, does it? I mean, that there's no fund that's the 2% money. That's would be a...
Well, so we did free up $9 million in ongoing, which is what we gave to you.
That's what we're... But when you say we could use that money, it's out of the $9
million. Yes, yeah. We have put this in as one time, yeah. Because we do believe that if council is approving of this kind of an approach, that it would require $500,000 to get us started, but then we do anticipate that we will actually have an efficiency at least equivalent to $500,000 in the next year, which would then continue to fund the program, and then eventually you would actually start to reap the savings as opposed to just have it fund the program.
Great. So this is a pay now to save later one.
This is yes, one of the ways that we're proposing to approach the 2% efficiency on an ongoing basis.
Gotcha. And it probably means bringing in outside help.
It does mean bringing in some outside help, yes.
Yeah, okay, great, thanks.
Councillor Knack.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and sorry, I'm actually going to ask you about that all as well right now, because my understanding of this was nothing to do with bringing in outside people through some conversation. I've only had a conversation with Mr. Aitken, who's been leading it, but my understanding is it was exactly that, which is seed money. So if somebody came forward and said, I have an idea, I want to try this, but it's going to cost us $10,000, that's the fund that would do it. It has nothing to do with consulting.
I think part of moving those ideas ahead and exploring them is engaging some external help, and we've been engaging external help this year to assist us in looking at the techniques and the approaches that we can actually use to do those evaluations.
Okay.
So I'm not saying $500,000 in consulting. I'm saying there may be elements of consulting in that budget.
Sure. Mr. Rosen, were you going to say something? Or?
So just building on what Mr. Burge said, it's not all consulting money by any means, Councillor Knack. It's just that depending on the ideas that you get, because we're not presuming what those ideas are, and depending on how much the initial idea is actually fleshed out, one might have to actually do some work to explore those ideas and to see whether or not they can be implemented appropriately. It's not reasonable, I think, to expect that we could do all of that in-house, that we may in fact need some resources that would help us to determine how to implement something. Say, for example, if somebody had an idea about how to make something more efficient through the use of technology, that might require a little bit of external resource.
Do we... have you researched any other cities that or corporations that do this? And I ask that question because I would...
Yes.
We're not debating the topic, actually, so I...
So yes, actually we have. Mr. Aikens has done quite a bit of research and has presented quite a bit of information to the corporate leadership team in terms of this initiative.
The question, and I realize it's not on the... So I guess the question says, if it's not funded, a supportive corporate testing environment will not exist. And so I guess I struggle because I want to make sure that I don't think we need to fund this and I don't want to put this forward, but I don't want that indication to be that I don't want the corporation to support innovation.
So, Councillor Knack, to be really candid, so how we've gotten this to this point at this time is that Mr. Aiken's been doing this largely off the corner of his desk. And so it's about then, right now, everybody that has a job is doing that job. If you then want to put a support network in place to actually enable people to go beyond that, to get creative, to get innovative, you have to have people that can actually foster that and move that forward. And really, it's been, I think, a strain for the branch manager that's been leading this to do that off the corner of his desk for the last year, and it's not sustainable. And so if we're serious about this, then we do need to put some resource into providing that support, I do believe.
I'd certainly echo that, Councillor Knack. I think Mr. Aiken's on his way over here, but he has been working off of this. Like, for this to move forward in
a... Wonderful job.
No, I absolutely agree.
I just...
But if this is going to move forward in a systemic, concentrated kind of way, it needs a separate resource and a separate stream, I believe, in a corporate department. And it's at Mr. Aiken's suggestion that this service package was developed.
No, that's. Thank you very much, Councillor McKean.
Okay, I'm going to try to form sentences.
That was one.
I hit the wall Wednesday at 4:30. The traffic safety and automated enforcement reserve. One of the things I've long thought as we talked about photo radar is that there was a unspoken bargain with Edmontonians that we would put any money from photo radar back into traffic safety. So does that, maybe there was a specific policy. So let me ask this first. Shortfalls? Do we really expect there would be shortfalls? What has the trend line been in photo radar revenue year over year?
We provided that in the report, and actually to date it's about $7 million short. But the program had an interruption with some issues around legislation.
Shortfalls in revenue. We haven't had shortfalls in revenue.
Yes, we have.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So we have actually had less revenue than we budgeted in this program. As Mr. Burridge alluded to, there was a technology problem in 2011 that actually caused us to lose quite a bit of revenue. And so I know that this program is 5 years old, but it's really only been on a stable footing for the last two from a perspective of everything running smooth and us being able to actually project the revenue stream. And so we're a little risk averse, yes, maybe.
So if we create this reserve, what would be the next steps as far as deciding what to do with the money?
So based on council's motion, that's what the policy is actually reflected of. And in the report itself, there's a budget financial implications section that actually tells you what we would then do. And so if you create the reserve based on this policy and you make it effective at this time when the budget is approved, then any amount that's actually surplus in the program at the end of 14 would immediately go into the reserve. At this point in time, we're projecting that to be about $9.9 million. We would also then, for next year, we would do a budget adjustment that takes the money, currently it's housed in transportation operations. We would take that out and put it into corporate programs, the $41 million. We would allocate then $19.3 million as a transfer from that reserve to transportation operations, which would fund the $14.9 million in Office of Traffic Safety and $4.4 million in other initiatives that are already in the base budget for transportation funded from those sources. We would provide the Edmonton Police Services with a $15.7 million allocation, which would then reduce their net operating impact by that much. It's not increasing their gross budget, it's just a change in revenue source. And that would leave $6 million of contribution in the reserve. With the $9.9 million, you would then have $15.9 million. In terms of whether or not we have a sort of a moral contract with the public with respect to, I wouldn't want to speak to that. What I can speak to is that we have been diligent as an administration to ensure that we have at least as much money and photo in traffic safety expenditures of a nature that we've told you about than the revenue. So we're comfortable with saying that the money has been spent on traffic safety up to this point in time. In terms of what is an appropriate distribution of those funds, there are no rules around that, and so that is up to council for your consideration to apply in the manner that you see fit.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Nicol.
Well, this is where I have no. There's always been that what I recall is that when we raised money from photo radar, that money was thrown into the general kitty. And that money was then distributed by will of council, thereby giving taxpayers assurance that the money that was raised by PhotoRadar was not to be treated separately or anything differently than other revenues coming into the city. Do we not suffer an issue, and you raised it, a question of moral, is it about the contract of the distribution of that money by putting in a dedicated reserve and taking out the politician in that distribution? I don't. It's long in the day, so I'm not really expressing it as well as I did last week. So
Councillor Nicholl,
the question becomes, and I'm looking at councillors for this, does not the question beg, right? I'm getting the impression that if we allow a department to raise its own revenues for its own programs with no political oversight, it just goes into a fund and then automatically goes to something else. That's not how I'm understanding it. Then I'm misunderstanding it backwards. Then clarify it for me, Mr. Mayor. Please clarify for it.
Well, that's exactly how it's set up today, how you describe it. It's all within the domain of the Transportation Department.
It is.
They provide estimates at the beginning of the year, which we
then
approved.
I'm suffering a 10-year lag and...
So by forcing it into a reserve and creating a policy around it, then there's policy that guides where all of that revenue goes. That policy is set by council, and the reserve allocations are annually set as part of the budget, based on the best estimates at the time. But as any surpluses or deficits accrue in that, it's all housed within the reserve rather than being flush in transportation or taken out of something else in transportation. So I think we're actually talking about potentially the same thing.
I think okay.
Because I'm trying to put policy governance around where the money goes rather than leaving it within the empire of the Transportation Department, which is where it has been.
Okay. Because Councillor Anderson and Councillor Gibbons, if you remember, remember the use contract and all that, how did we handle it before?
Lord of the Transportation Department.
Oh, the police had it. That's right. I'm sorry, it's been 10 years. So you have to very good.
So this came from EPS to us in 2009.
That's right. And so, okay, getting this right is so, and I agree with you, Councillor McKean, there's not going to be a shortfall. Who's kidding? Right? I mean, just because they've had a technical glitch 1 year, so I think the argument about a shortfall or impending shortfall is low at best in terms of its risk portfolio. But what I would say to you, Mr. Mayor, then, to reiterate what I heard back, so I can support this with a clear conscience, is that they're going to generate PhotoRadar revenue money. It's going to go to a dedicated reserve. Everybody's going to be clear on the direction of that money, and that way, okay. Thank you.
Yeah, it is. Councillor Essinger?
Thank you. I just would like to understand this policy document. On page 3 of 3, it talks about the revenue of community infrastructure programs. Could you explain number D, because I don't quite understand what that means.
So what number D is stating is for the motion is that to be able to allocate some of the revenue to programs other than PhotoRadar directed toward community infrastructure programs, like the capital partner grant program and community leave infrastructure programs. That was part of the original motion, was to be able to allocate that to where council felt there were community priorities that could be addressed with this funding.
Okay, when I read this line, it says community infrastructure programs such as, but not restricted to, so any community infrastructure program, basically. Is that what it means?
So if I could give you another example of a program that was mentioned, it would be the New Park Development Program, which, while it is capital, can get infusions of pay-as-you-go. And so I think that what it would be, though, Councillor, is that this has to be a program that you've already established or will establish, so it has to be something that's budgeted, right? So it can't just be an individual, say, community project that you would apply this to. It needs to be applied through a program that we administer.
And if you can help me understand, is this then through the budget process annually that we will allocate these funds out of the reserve? Is
yes.
that how it works?
Yes, and so if I can give you a great example, there was a motion made today to add $2.9 million to the Community Facility Partner Capital Grant Program out of this reserve, should it be established. And so that's exactly how we would do that, is through a council motion at budget time.
And just so that I'm clear, the Traffic Safety Department will still bring their annual budget, so we'll know that what they're doing. We won't be, we'll make sure that they're well covered before we use a reserve. That's my understanding?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Councillor Walters?
I have a couple non-related.
Okay, then Councillor Essinger, if you could take the chair, and Councillor Walters, you can click back on.
Have the chair.
Okay, so to the chair, we're no, this is me. We're on item 11.1, which is the presentation and discussion of the budget binder. Right?
Actually, Mr. Mayor, I believe we're on 9.
Are we?
Yes, we're at expenditures and revenues, but we do need to bring forward the report 11.2.
So to be able to talk about 11.1, well, maybe what we should do is just, to the chair, finish with 9.1. I mean, the reserve is an element to this, but if we have any more questions on 9.1, I think we're just about out. We can move on. I have one, and then I'll take the chair back, and then we can maybe bring forward 11.2 and see if we want to deal with any further questions, since we've been talking about it, on 11.2 with, and the recommendation there. My only question then pertaining to item 9.1, the corporate expenditures and revenues, is around this, also around this continuous improvement and innovation research. Is it meant to wind up being a bit of a revolving fund?
Yes.
And I asked a written question about this because I wanted to know what the returns on investment might be, and so if anyone wants to check that out, that's on page 206 of, that's actually the last page of the of all of the operating questions, so it's the very last page, page 206 of the written questions, and it says it is proposed that, after talking about everything that we've talked about, what it would do, it says it's proposed that program implementation be closely monitored through a benefits registry to track program efforts and activities, measure successes and lessons learned. And I think that's great advice. I think if we were going to do something like this, it should be subject to something, a report outlining how we would do that and how we would show the results and get systematic about that. And if there was... I guess the other question, though, then about, so thanks for that answer, don't you think?
Yes, we do think, actually.
Yes, you do think. Okay. So that would be a reasonable subject, too, if there was a motion to do this.
Absolutely.
And so it's not, it's really ongoing, even though you're showing that you think you'll kick it back and then some into the future.
Yes, because we do believe that we will generate enough efficiency in that first year, will generate the $500,000 that we will then use to keep this program running on a regular basis.
So you would give it back as part of your next 2% next budget?
So the first $500,000 that we generate, we likely wouldn't give back. We would keep it in the base, but everything after that, we would kick back, yes.
So can we fund it one time then, or?
Yes, that's actually what the request is for a one-time fund of $500,000.
And then you would turn that into a revolve. You'd take that 500 and essentially roll it over.
That's exactly what we think we can do.
So you think you can replenish it? Okay.
We do.
Okay.
So
and you would report on how it's being used and the results being achieved.
Yes.
You could.
And actually have some examples from some of the research that Mr. Aiken's done about registries that are used in other municipalities and how to report on benefits. Okay. So we've learned quite a bit about this.
Yeah. Then I think we should give ourselves the option subject to a report. So I'm going to move that corporate programs... corporate expenditure revenues, corporate programs branch 2015 operating budget be increased by $500,000 to fund continuous improvement, innovation, research, and development on a one-time basis with a transfer from the FSR for now, and we'll see if we have some one-time dollars, and that the funds be held in abeyance pending a report on program evaluation. program objectives and evaluation.
And do you have a seconder?
Not yet. Councillor McKean, I guess. Thank you.
Councillor McKean seconding.
Okay. Thank you. Those are all my questions on this. I'll take the chair back. Thank you, Councillor Essinger. You're welcome. Doing a fine job, Deputy Mayoring this, by the way. Thank you. I will... Okay, I have the chair back. Councillor Walters on something... you just got some amendments for us? Okay, go ahead.
Unrelated to this, but just to get them out. In the spirit of innovation, I'll move that Transportation Department, Transportation Planning Branch, 2015 operating budget increased by $623,000 to fund the transit strategy. It could save taxpayers, seconded by the mayor. And secondly, the Transportation Department, Transportation...
Who's your seconder on that one, Councillor?
You.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks.
Mayor. Oh, I did say.
Did you?
The mayor?
Yes, did you say?
No. I said the mayor. I should.
I was listening for Iveson.
By Mayor Iveson.
Thank you.
Not the other source of funding is the tax levy.
Sorry. It's just, that's Friday afternoon. We should probably stop. Okay, keep going.
The Transportation Department, Transportation Operations Branch, 2015 operating budget increased by $1.5 million to fund the snow and ice policy amendments. Numbers 2 and 3 in the description on an ongoing basis. Funds available for City Council, which is less than was asked, but thank you.
And I'm seconding.
And so that's seconded by Councillor Essinger.
So you're moving those omnibus?
Yep.
Okay. The two together, but to a lower amount.
Well, No, I'm just moving them separate. Sorry.
Okay. Sorry. Okay. Gotcha. Okay. Those are in. Those will generate any. Those. No, they won't. No, snow's never going to generate annualization because it always snows. Damn it. Okay. So we are done with 9.1. We are done with 9.1. Since we hit the presentation on the photo enforcement reserve, we've already had in some questions. I would entertain a motion to bring that forward so we can deal with the report.
So moved.
Thank you, Councillor Essinger, seconded by Councillor McKean. So to bring forward 11.2, please vote. Display the vote. That's carried. Okay, so that's in front of us now. Are there further questions on this one? I had just a couple, so I wonder if I could pass the chair to Councillor Essinger again.
I have the chair.
Thank you. I just wanted to be clear on the numbers. So we're going to generate 9.9 this year, and this is one of the reasons why creating the reserve is good. Otherwise, that would just go into the general pot.
It would have gone into the FSR, yes.
Yeah, into the FSR. And we had, I think in addition to making the commitment around traffic safety, we said we wouldn't just take it to the bottom line, and that was the implication, at least the way I understood it. And so creating the reserve captures that for as soon as the reserve is created, which if this passes, then the reserve is created before the end of the year, and that can receive the 9.9, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you said on page 2 of the report, it says that we still have a cumulative program shortfall of 7.8 million.
Yes.
So
that's after the 9.9 is considered.
So if you take the 9.9, would you charge the 7.8 against it?
So from my perspective, Mayor Iveson, I think that it's appropriate at this point in time, if you're creating a new reserve, we don't typically go back and explore what happened in the past. That was provided just as information so that we had some background for why we thought that there should be a little bit of a minimum balance in the reserve because of the ups and downs in our position. But really, it's all flowed.
Those deficits are already. That 7.2
no,
on the
it plus. Flowed into the it flowed into the FSR. Yes.
Okay.
It just made up part of the cumulative surplus and/or deficit in each year that it was in, and so it's not sitting somewhere for us to account for in any way.
And so the 2.1, the 2.1 minimum reserve, because I was looking at 7.8 plus 2.1 and saying, oh, that's 9.9. So if you take the 7.8 out to pay back.
And that's not what we were suggesting.
Okay.
What I was concerned about, quite frankly, is if you look at the $41 million and you say that you have a regular allocation of $35 million to the police, to the Office of Traffic Safety, and to a few initiatives, if you then allocate out the whole $6 million, assuming you don't have a beginning balance in the reserve, and it's $500,000 short, you're creating a deficit because you need to just have some money that flows over in the reserve.
Oh, totally. I think there would have to be a bit of a minimum float against the volatility.
And that's what we're saying.
That's part of the purpose of a reserve.
Yes, and that's what we're saying the $2.1 million is. And so that you wouldn't draw it down below $2.1 million in any given year.
But it would really start with 9.9 then.
It would. And so what you would have available if you adhered to that is you would have the $6 million that we're putting in, and you would then have 7.8 on top of that. So you'd have 13.8.
Above the minimum balance.
Yes, above the minimum balance. That you could allocate in this year either to operating or capital, because there were, as
that
you recall,
consistent with the policy.
Yes, yes. And there were some
about parking lots.
Well, no, there were some profiles that you had actually talked about in the capital that had to do with traffic safety that you said that you may in fact look at again when
loop
you got
back
here.
Around. Okay.
Right?
Okay. So we could make an ongoing, semi-regular, I guess, ongoing commitment, but validated from year to year, to fund something like a portion or all of the community facilities partnership grant out of this, and you would see coming a year ahead of time if you were going to be short.
Certainly, yeah.
Okay. Then you have established this exactly how I envisioned it could be established. So, once again, proving yourself to be an extraordinary
treasurer
and chief financial officer.
I listened really carefully on this one.
Well, I'm prepared to move this unless there are other questions or other people that want to do it. So the recommendation that's in 11.2. And Councillor Henderson seconds it. So I don't need to speak to it. I think the merits of this have been well explored.
So no one else is wanting to speak to it either? I don't see anything on the board.
Okay.
So then are we ready to vote? Please vote. And display the vote. And that is carried.
Okay.
So, Mayor Iveson, if I could, the one follow-on from this then, and I did discuss this with the clerk, but we just didn't know how much you were going to discuss this and how many changes you would have, is that the policy should actually be approved as well. And we didn't have a recommendation on the policy because, as I said, I didn't want to be presumptuous with respect to whether or not I did get it right.
Do we need to consider that before the consideration of the main motion on the budget, or can we postpone that maybe to the December 17th or to convene
open,
or what would be most appropriate? We've said create a reserve with a governing policy. The policy can come later.
I defer to the clerk.
Either way is fine, Mr. Mayor. So we can pass it today. We have the policy in front of you. If you're happy.
Well, policy's in here. Were there any concerns with the policy? We could consider it today. Do it today. You like it? Someone want to move it? You want
I
to
will move it.
I'll second it.
Moved Henderson, seconded Walters. Okay.
Policy C579 would be the number.
The policy governing. Okay. Are we ready to vote on that policy then? Please vote. Display the vote. Oh, you got it just in time there. That is carried almost unanimously, but not quite. Okay. It is 5:15. Do you want to do mayor and councilor's offices real quick? I don't think there's a ton of questions on those. So, I mean, who knows, but we can get started. I'm going to move to fund the councilors out of photo radar reserve.
I need it for sidewalk, lights, so I'm not working that much money.
Is there a presentation on this one?
I think you're quite familiar with your support staff here. We have Mrs. Card and Mr. Zadcock that can answer any of your questions.
Can I either ask for unanimous consent or a motion to bring forward 12.1? Is there any objection to bringing forward 12.1? Okay, then we'll consider this unanimous consent to bring it forward, and we have 10 or 11, so that's enough. No problem. okay, so questions on the 12.1, yeah, Mayor and Councillor's offices. Councillor Henderson, you had questions on this one? Councillor Knack, did you have questions on this one? Councillor, no? Anybody else? No? No questions on this one?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I thought there was a question. Maybe Councillor Oshry? Okay. Are there...
Call questions.
Well, there's no vote on this one. We would just complete. Is there anything else we can do if we're done with this, or should we call it a day? Office of the City Auditor. Well, is Mr. Ewan here? No. No? So I'm just double-checking. There's no questions on Mayor and Council Office budget. No? Okay. How do you mean? Well, should we? Can I get a motion to recess at this point then?
And so we'll moved.
Okay. Okay, before we vote on it, seconded, moved by Councillor Loken, seconded by everybody, seconded by all members of council. So just so we're clear, we will come back for financial services and utilities, followed by Office of the City Auditor, followed by Office of the City Manager, followed by SD, and then we get to start voting. No, followed by transportation services. Let's not forget.
Yeah, the biggest one is last.
Yeah, saving the best for last. Okay. All right, so let's vote on the motion to recess early. Display the vote. We didn't lose quorum before that vote. Okay, we'll see you Monday morning.